for athletes specifically, try to keep your goals, if it's something that's like, you know, numerical, that it's only 10% better than what you did the year previous or the season previously. So let's say your team didn't make the NCAA tournament. Don't have your goal for next year be to win the national championship, right? Hey there, you're listening to Virago Pod, a podcast that is dedicated to empowering and improving the physical and mental health of female athletes everywhere.
This podcast is brought to you by The Virago Project, a nonprofit organization that helps female athletes balance sports with life.
I'm your host, Emily McGee Zaslowski.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Tracy. Let's jump right into the episode. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Virago Pod. We are at episode 12, and Emily and I were just talking, and this is actually the first podcast that we've recorded in 2020. So, oh wait, it's 2021.
Yes. Let's not go back to 2020. 2021.
Yes. Let's not, please. Even though I can't say that 2021 has been much better.
We're turning the corner. We're going to turn the corner here.
Turning the corner. Exactly. So before we hop into today's episode, which is all about goal setting and maintaining motivation while you are trying to reach said goals, we have just a few announcements. So number one is that our team talk workshops are back. Woohoo! So this past fall, we gave around 15-ish team talks to a ton of different college women's teams here in the States. We're also happy to talk with teams abroad, though. We've had some inquiries in other countries as well. But we've gone in and given workshops for different teams on goal setting, on leadership, on women's empowerment, on body image, on gosh, what else? Like self-care and stress management, general mental health awareness, literally you name it. We've probably given a team talk on it. And we have decided that in 2021, we would revamp our team talks and make these workshops just better. So we have different workshops you can choose from now that are posted on our website. We've collaborated with our advisory board, who are sports psychologists, dietitians, leadership experts, to help us create our team talks. And of course, our staff, Emily, I, and a few other recently retired Division I athletes are the sportswomen who will deliver the talks to your team. So signups are up on our website. And I think that's it about our team talks. Emily, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. And that, I mean, that's where we got the idea for last one, since we have one on post-athletic career talk and how we got the idea to do today's of the goal talk, since that's such a big component that teams are asking for, that we're going to, you know, drip some information now, but obviously go into a lot more detail in these workshops. So yeah, no, I'm really excited for these and, you know, the work we've put on and to finally be able to reveal them. I think it's great.
Yay. Yep, totally. Okay. So today we are talking all about goal setting. Let's dive right into today's episode slash workshop, kind of.
All right, Taylor. So first and foremost with goal setting, I would like to talk about why goal setting is so important for athletes and I guess people in general too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know this just as well as I do. Goal setting is so important for a number of reasons. I think personally, I like to know where I'm going and have direction in my life. And, you know, sometimes if I just allow myself to float through life without having any kind of specific goal or milestone that I'm striving to achieve or trying to reach for, I kind of feel lost. So I feel like setting goals is a really good way of just giving ourselves clarity and purpose in our lives. And so we're not just bopping around, like doing whatever and going through the flow and getting carried and pulled one way and then another. We can kind of just stay on a direct and meaningful path towards whatever it is that we're aiming for.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's really easy for me personally to get super, unfortunately, complacent. Like when my life is so go, go, go. And when you're a college athlete, your whole day is structured. It's really easy to like at the end of the day, be like, what even happened today? And seeing that singular day in the bigger picture. So I guess that kind of brings me to my next question is, do you use goal setting mainly for your athletic career? How has it been since you've retired? And do you have any examples on how you've personally used goal setting to improve your life?
So yeah, I think that goals are great for athletics, but you also have to set personal goals. And I like to break down my goals into a few different categories to help me stay organized. So for example, I used to have my athletic goals, and then I would have like my academic goals, and then I would have like health goals or relationship goals or career goals. So outside of athletics, I would definitely say there's a lot to set goals for. And it really depends on the person for how you break it down.
Yeah, every bucket's going to be a little different based on, you know, that mm-hmm. person's life and where they want to advance.
Yeah. And to answer your question about, you know, an example of how I've personally used goal setting, the impact that it's had on my life. Well, I mean, you and I can probably both say, like, both of our goals were, for example, to like play volleyball in college. We know this about each other. So like, and kind of break it down like that. You going to college at Carolina, me going to college at Carolina, that obviously had a huge impact on our lives. And we're still experiencing the ripple effects of that today. And we probably will for the rest of our lives. Like the fact that we're talking here together and like can build this really amazing organization together is like, that is like a direct impact of, well, maybe an indirect impact of the fact that we set a goal when we were, I don't know, 15 years old to play volleyball in college. So that's kind of cool, like thinking about that bigger picture. So yeah, that's a very easy example of how goal setting has personally impacted my life. What about you? Do you have any?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of like on the job search, the easiest way for me to like, I obviously wanted to get a job, and then I kind of broke it down in a way like, so it's kind of an overwhelming thing, similar to like, I want to play volleyball in college. Like that's such a big goal. And it's like, that's the dream. And that's what you see on people's vision boards of like, you know, me in a business suit with my business briefcase, making money, supporting myself. But like really goals for me, it was like so important for the date. Again, I'm going to go back to, for me personally, the daily tasks that I need to do to achieve that job. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like overwhelming when I'm like, okay, at first when I started the job search, I was extremely picky and like, I was like, oh, I want to work at Nike. I want to work at ESPN. So like, I just kind of waited. I like would check their job board my senior year of college, like once a month, apply to those jobs. I started to have to be like, okay, if you want to get a job at Nike, here's what you have to do. So all of a sudden I was, you know, trying to find people who work there. I was reaching out to them on LinkedIn. I was doing all this smaller stuff. Needless to say, I did not get a job at Nike, which I think that's really important to point out that like all your dreams don't necessarily come through. But it's like, if I wouldn't have had the breakdown, it was just, I'm just a tiny fish in a big pond. And I ended up getting a great job in finance, something I studied in that met a bunch of my other goals. And ultimately I did get a job upon graduation. So right after graduation, I had a job. So it's like, very important to break down the bigger goals for me to smaller goals, like reach out and apply to 10 jobs a day, update your resume once a month, talk to 5 past alumni or people in your field a month. Like there's just so many things that like, it's not just the big goal, it's all those other little goals that I think help me become the best version of myself to reaching the big goals.
Yeah, that's so spot on. And I couldn't agree more. Like, and that's what we're going to go in today, right? Like you start with a big vision and then you break it down and you think of more like small goals that you can achieve kind of in the short term, you know, in the as you're kind of like building up to that big goal that you may or may not get. And then you maybe even break it down even further into daily goals. So yeah, we'll touch on all of that. But no, I get that. I love that you were able to organize everything when you were that young and like had such a good process about that, because I feel like a lot of young people don't even really know how to set goals and like have no idea like how to break it down. And like you said, like that can be so discouraging to just see like, you know, my goal is to work for ESPN and have no idea or have put like no thought into how you're going to get there. So love that you did that.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to a previous podcast too, we had with Paige, when she talked about kind of the overwhelmingness factor that leads to like inaction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like one of the main things that goal setting can like kind of help with. So on that note, this is a bit of a leading question because I know we've been working on our goal setting webinar, but what is a tool that you use that I love that you put together that's accessible to all of our listeners right now listening to help keep their goal setting organized?
So on our website, actually, like this past summer, I created a goal setting workshop, essentially, that you can kind of follow through and through. And there's PDFs on it that break your like categories, like your goal categories down. So like there's life, there's sport, there's career, academic categories that you can fill in your personal goals underneath. There's like an action plan PDF. Like literally this is all free. You can just go deep into our blog and find the goal setting workshop article that we posted like months ago and print it off and just like fill it in. And then there's like a daily schedule that you can print out where you can kind of put your action plan and plug it into like a weekly calendar. So yeah, there's that tool for you. You don't even have to listen to this podcast.
Well, no, It was pretty brief. It's a good print it out as you listen to this podcast. And I'll link that blog article in the description here as well, because I think those PDFs are, I love it. And you even provided examples. All right. So I guess moving on to that, everyone printed out. Great. Got in front of you. Why don't you take us through the steps of goal setting, which has been obviously, you know, everyone's a little different, but how you find it's best for you and other athletes that you talked to while you were developing this plan.
Yeah, definitely. So I kind of did when I was an athlete, like I would revisit my goals and set new goals basically every quarter. Actually, I'm going to take that back because I wasn't working on quarters when I was an athlete. I was working more so in like semesters. So there was like the fall semester, and then there was the spring semester, and then there was the summer session. And I feel like, oddly enough, I actually kind of still do work that way.
Yeah, no, I do too.
So like, yeah, you can do it however you want. You can do it quarterly. You can do it like three times a year. You can do it with the seasons. Literally, it's up to you and your preference. But yeah, so for example, let's just pretend like I'm a college student athlete and I'm going through this goal setting workshop. Okay. So maybe in the summer is when I'm like, ah, like it's been a great year. Now I want to think about like planning for everything that I want to get done and achieve between now and next year around this time. So I would say the first step is to just like think really big about what you want to achieve. So thinking about like where you are now and where you want to be next year, or maybe even 3 years from now, if you've never even thought about this, you kind of have to cast a vision out, right? But you want to make it attainable. So yeah, make sure that whatever goals or vision that you're casting for yourself, it's like realistic and it's not totally out of sight. But yeah, you can definitely dream big. Like I'm a big dreamer, but I don't think I'm unrealistic, or maybe I'm delusional. I don't know.
I was going to say, when we've been researching some statistics for these talks, one of them was exactly that. For athletes specifically, try to keep your goals, if it's something that's like, you know, numerical, that it's only 10% better than what you did the year previous or the season previously. So let's say your team didn't make the NCAA tournament. Don't have your goal for next year be to win the national championship,
exactly.
Right? It's like, oh, yes. Should you dream big? Of course. However, maybe your goal should be to make the NCAA tournament. You made the Sweet 16. Okay. Don't, just because you made the Sweet 16, don't necessarily shoot for the NCAA champions, shoot for that Elite Eight. So I think it was 10% was the magic number, which, you know, can be subjective and weird things with sports, but 10% kind of the magic threshold.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, maybe like your goal when you're a freshman is to make the NCAA tournament, and you can cast that when you sit down for the first time and start goal setting. So like next year or like this fall NCAA tournament, and maybe in the same session, you can sit down and cast a vision for 3 years later, or if you're a redshirt, 4 seasons later, and be like, by the time that I leave the school, I want a Final Four, or like I want an Elite Eight, or even a championship. It depends on, you know, whatever, where you're at and what's realistic for you.
Exactly.
So that's number one. Think big, think about the big picture. I know for me, for example, like when I got to school, actually, a goal that I set before I even got to college was that I wanted to play professional volleyball. And like, that was something I knew that was something that I could attain. And so I was able to go ahead and set that goal. Another goal I made later was that I wanted to be an All-American. I got honorable mention, so that was good enough, close enough at least. I made a goal that I wanted to be a business owner someday. So that's happening right now. Emily and I are doing it, and that I wanted to work in sport. So those are kind of like big picture goals that I set for myself when I was in college. So that's step one, big picture, casting visions, but of course, making them realistic.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really important, because there's certain things that your goal was to be an All-American. Unless you know what even goes into being an All-American, like it's ways to define, maybe people have heard these catchphrases or they've heard these things that they want to attain. But if they don't know, like even what, like that's a really easy way then to be like, okay, I want to do this, and to leading, you know, to the next step of how can we get here type thing. But if you don't have that big goal, the day-to-day might just seem, again, kind of redundant and,
yeah,
you know, pointless almost.
Exactly. So, and that leads right into step two, too. right into step two, which is to, from those big goals, like start creating smaller process-oriented goals. So you think about, okay, what can I do to achieve the bigger picture, or at least propel me in the right direction? And this is kind of where you'll want to start breaking your goals down into those categories. So like I said beforehand, I had like sport specific goals, that I wanted to play professional volleyball and I wanted to be an All-American. I had career goals that I wanted to work in sport. And then I had a personal goal, which is also kind of a career goal, that I wanted to be a business owner, but that's really more of a preference. So I started to break down my goals into these categories, and to keep it simple, it would be life, sport, career, academic oriented goals. And you can kind of fill this in for yourself. Like, for example, maybe in the life category, you can have, all right, well, what goals are going to help me be a business owner? What goals are going to help me get to wherever I need to be with my sport career? So for example, I had goals like be a better teammate, like spend more quality time with my team, get 8 hours of sleep each night, staying hydrated. That's a good life goal. I know that's also going to help me in sport. Committing to the process and following through with my plans. Under sport related goals, I had like complete every rep of every workout, like improve flexibility and mobility. And then in career and academic, in the career and academic section, I had like find an internship for next spring, like get an A in this course and this course, and like learn the basics of video editing or something like that, which I knew would somehow tie into the field that I wanted to work in later. So those are just really examples of like small process oriented goals that you can take action on between the time that you've like set the goal and the time that you want to have finally achieved like whatever bigger picture goal it is that you set.
Yeah, this process is kind of, there's many different ways to goal set, right? This one is most closely aligned to what we could found is kind of backward goal setting. So it's mm-hmm. like, take a look at your big picture goal, and then you identified exactly like, hey, I am going to, in order to be an Elite Eight person, what kind of athlete would it take to be an Elite Eight person? So mm-hmm. you identify that as, you know, I'm going to complete every rep of that workout. That person doesn't quit. This person finishes things. You know, mm-hmm. kind of you go big and then you break it down backwards to the step of, or like if you're getting statistical, and I'll try to not all only use volleyball, but like maybe a volleyball team wants to hit 300 hitting efficiency. That's probably mm-hmm. similar in my baseball, softball, maybe swimming. You want to shave a certain amount of time off your score. So like all these things, then like, what does it take to make the NCAA tournament like a well-rounded swimmer? So like, maybe you want to improve in a different stroke. Maybe you want to make the relay team, mm-hmm. all this different stuff that if you start with that big goal, now this is when we started kind of getting the those process oriented steps that in order to make that big thing happen, qualities that I need to have. So yeah. It kind of leads us into, go ahead, Taylor, what is the next step?
Yeah, that's a good point. So step three is to create an action plan. So you've got your vision, you've already set that, you've created smaller process-oriented goals, and now you're going to go even smaller and create like small daily, basically, goals that you can check off every single day, every single week, whatever. So you're still going to work within those categories. So one goal that I mentioned in the sport category was to improve flexibility, mobility, and muscle recovery. So maybe I'll write down underneath that goal, okay, what's the action plan? Because I can say that I'm going to improve my flexibility, mobility, and recovery, but like, what am I going to do like actually to make sure that that happens, and how am I going to do it? So like the action plan would be like, you know, intentionally warm up before each workout for like 10 minutes, dynamically, like allocate, every day to like stretching and foam rolling, my joints 3 times a week, like ice bath, buy some ice at the gas station, whatever, like get it done. Like I need to like buy my own personal foam roller, PVC pipe. Like that is an action plan that I can like, it's a to-do list under that goal where I can be like, okay, check. I intentionally warmed up before my workout, all my workouts this week or today even. Check. I spent 20 minutes today foam rolling. Check. I iced 3 times a week. Okay. I know that I'm moving in the right direction. So you can do that for all of the goals that all of the process oriented goals that you set in each individual category.
Yeah. I love this. This is like the step that for me leads to my success or failure, because for me, a lot of times goals and things where I'm overly complacent with, my whole problem is that I don't take action. So even like, let's say my household goal of like, I want a clean house, like, do I want a clean house? Yes. Do I hate doing laundry? Do I hate cleaning counters? Do I hate doing dishes? Also, yes. So the problem is when a lot of these goals, like I always hated icing, like after a long day at practice, I just wanted to get home as soon as possible. But since, you know, my health was a goal and a clean house is a goal, that means every day on my to-do list, I'm not going to put off, I don't have to do all 5 in one day, but you gotta do 1 in a day. I have to do laundry today still. So like, it's very important for me. So if you're finding yourself that you're kind of at the stalemate and not really moving forward, I would take a look at your action plan and make sure it's something that's clearly laid out that can be not just like this season, but like Taylor said, like this week, I'm going to stop at a gas station once a week. I'm going to ice every day after practice. So from like weekly to daily goals, I think you said that. Taylor.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And also, like, just to put this out there, same way in which we cast our vision and made it realistic and sustainable, like it's almost even more important to make sure that whatever action plans you're writing down underneath your goal in this section is sustainable. Because if it's like, okay, I'm going to like warm up an hour before every workout, and I'm going to stretch and foam roll for an hour before bed every single night, and like ice my joints every single day of the week. I mean, you just need to be real with yourself and ask yourself, like, is that actually doable? Like, are you actually willing to spend that amount of time a week? Probably not. Like, make sure that whatever action plan you're putting into place, it aligns smoothly with your lifestyle. It's not interrupting too much. It's not this like drastic change of events. It's more about just making small changes that will add up over time and eventually get you to where you need to be, rather than like making all of these drastic changes and then like being burnt out in, you know, a month.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What do you recommend next, Taylor?
Yeah, so step four is to make a daily schedule and to put it into writing. It's the part where you're going to take that action plan and you're going to plug it in into a weekly schedule. When I was in college, I had this planner and I can't remember the name of it, but it was like the best planner ever. And we'll link basically like broke down every single day of the week by the hour. So like that was perfect for me as a college athlete, because I would wake up in the morning and I knew I had weights, and then I had to go to this class, and then I had to like go visit coach, and then I had to go here, and then I had to go to film. And like, you know, it's just like literally my schedule was like, it went by the hour. Like that's how structured it was. And I found that it really worked for me to take those action plan items and to plug them into a specific hour in the day. So for example, like back to the stretching and foam rolling thing, because of course, one of my big goals, my process oriented goals, is to improve flexibility, mobility, muscle recovery. Well, why would I want to do that? Well, because I want to feel good. And because eventually, remember, I cast that vision that I wanted to be an All-American. I wanted to be a great athlete. So I need to make sure that I'm healthy. Okay, so I'm going to take maybe the stretching and foam rolling 20 minutes a day, and I'm going to plug that into like a 7 p.m. window. And just like every day at 7 p.m., I'll see it in my planner. It's like, okay, no, I'm stretching and foam rolling at this time. Or if it's the back to the career one, learning the basics of video editing, or maybe for you, it's like searching for internships or whatever, I'm going to plug that into like a 1 p.m. slot on Tuesdays and Thursdays every day for a week until I like get it down. You want to make sure that you're taking your action items and not just writing them down in a journal and then closing the journal and then never looking at it ever again, but like plugging it into a place where you can see it. You can plug it into your phone and create alarms to remind you, you know, it's time to get moving and start working on the action item. I like planners. I'm a very visual person. Whatever works for you, but make sure that you can see it. This part is so, so, so important.
I agree. Just my own anecdote. So I had a lot of goals in the weight room, because I thought that like that's always been something not only that is important to my sport, but also improves my mood and everything. College athletes, early morning workouts. And so I realized then I had certain goals my freshman year, certain goals my sophomore year, but not until my junior year when I realized the biggest thing that was keeping me from being truly like successful in meeting my goals is that I wasn't completely in it. Like I got to the workout, but it was almost like, while I'm a morning person, you can only be so much of a morning person at 5 a.m. workouts. So it's like identifying the goals that Taylor talked about, like, okay, I need 8 hours of sleep at night. So then all of a sudden you're working backwards, and like mornings were stressful because like I occasionally lose my car keys. So then it's like, okay, I have a system now. I have a place of my car keys before morning weights, that before I go to bed, I lay out my weight room clothes. I lay out all of this. Like my schedule got so granular. I got to the weight room 15 minutes in advance. So like there's like the schedule can be extremely nitty gritty for areas that you find that you're lacking. That's really kind of changed my whole perception of the weight room, that from going from the stressed person who's looking for their keys in the morning, that doesn't start my workout on a good note when I had so much like stressful energy in the morning. It really just like changed everything for me. Having like, what's your ideal way to complete these goals as well, and kind of setting up that schedule to accomplish that, like the 7 o'clock foam roll stretching time as being like a priority and some safe time, and like just reserve time, having that as a block, I think is just so important.
Yeah, you made a really good point there just about like also allocating time to prepare. And that's not something that is included in this workshop or the blog post, but maybe we're going to have to make some edits and do that, because it's so true. Like once you can get into a kind of rhythm, like where you are getting everything that you need to get done in like a really efficient amount of time, then you're able to plan ahead for the next day in your free time so that everything's already set up in place. Like it just takes away so much stress. And that is something that still today, like I have trouble doing. Like I can definitely be a procrastinator and be like, oh, like I'll do my laundry like at the last minute when the bin rolls up. And then it's like by the time that I, you know, need to do like cannot like fit anything else into my bin, it's like, oh, now I have to also like wash the sheets and like clean the toilet and like all this other crap. So it's like, if only I had used my time more efficiently. And you know, maybe I need to make a goal like you, Emily, to keep my house clean.
I was gonna say, I'm not sure how well I'm accomplishing that one, but it is a goal, right? So I need to have a better four schedule, because right now it's like whenever the baby's not.
So yeah, the last step then, which isn't really a step, but it's more of a reminder, is just to commit to the process. And again, this is about the marathon and not the sprint mindset. Because athletes, we're always trying to give everything our all, like 100% of the time, which is awesome. Want to give our 1000%. 100% of the time. That's sometimes that we can get super, super caught up in. And I feel like it's important to remember that your 100% today, like, may not look like your 100% on any other day. You can set all of these goals and create an action plan, but you also need to like give yourself some grace throughout the process and allow for some flexibility, because life changes, like things come up, might change and you'll have to readjust. Just keep in mind that, you know, while these goals are here and these action plans are here to, you know, help keep you on track, mean that, you know, now have to adhere to this super rigid lifestyle and like can never take breaks or can never err from the plan or like adjust it, because you definitely can, because that's just life.
And I mean, especially in sports, I can think of so many occasions that, you know, our goal was to pass 0 serving errors, let's say. I can think back to games that we had 10 serving errors and we still won, right? So even though your specific individual goals may not be perfect for that day, it doesn't mean like your whole big goal is ruined now. Like that's just going to be life and just be how it is. And it kind of takes, you kind of touched on it too, and like the whole reason why, you know, remember the why of why you're doing this. And it's not so, it's like your own goals. So it's like, if you don't do them, it's not like you're letting anyone down, except like your own journey might just take a little detour that day. So remember, it's like, it should be like your goals. So like if your team has this goal, you need to make sure that you really identify with it. Because while we were doing these team talk research, we went to a lot of studies and read some journals about what it takes to be effective goals for athletes and non-athletes. And we actually learned something really interesting. My whole life, the other people we were talking with, everyone had heard of SMART goals, which is specific, measurable, attainable, and time specific. However, with athletes, when they only use SMART goals when they were setting them, they realized that they actually weren't as effective as teams and athletes that were talking about the motivation behind the goals. So should your goals be some of those things that we talked about? Yeah. But like just having that mindset of just having something that's attainable or specific actually will leave you less effective as if your team isn't talking about the motivation behind it for athletes specifically. So I guess, Taylor, why do you think identifying motivation is so important to athletes? And what are some ways or ideas how athletes can stay motivated or coaches can encourage motivation?
I mean, I think it's important to know what makes your clock tick. And that's part of the process, like, of goal setting within itself. When you are casting a vision for your life and kind of figuring out like, okay, where do I want to be? Like that vision that you have for yourself, like that is what motivates you. If it's important enough for you to like get down, create smaller process oriented goals in it, create like an action plan, put it in a calendar. Like if you're going through all of this trouble and going through this entire process in the hopes that you'll be able to achieve this vision for yourself, like I would say that that vision or something within it is in fact the thing that motivates you. And be, you know, a tool that you can use to help identify whatever it motivates you in life, in sport, whatever. So yeah, I think that, I mean, identifying motivation or identifying, you know, what you really, truly, truly want for your life is pertinent to goal setting because without it, like you possibly set goals unless, you know, you're living not on purpose or you're setting goals for reasons that aren't your own. Like sometimes we set goals because like our parents want us to go this route, or we feel like society wants us to go a certain route, or for some other external factors. But when you follow this this kind of framework to goal setting that we just talked about, it really emphasizes, okay, what do you want? And like, what are you visualizing for your life? So yeah, I would say identifying motivation is everything when it comes to goal setting.
Yeah. And that's why I love the layout that Taylor did. And honestly, she picked this layout before we looked at these studies, but the way that she had that big picture come first, that whole thing, right? Because sure, your coach can give you a specific statistic goal for you to hit and you can agree with it. But unless you really understand why you're doing it, like, okay, yeah, of course I want to pass good. That's not like, I obviously want to do that. But when you realize, then that's what makes the hitting percentage increase. And then the hitting percentage is actually like directly correlated to like, look at, we win 80% of games when we hit this well, or, you know, and so having that in order to win X amount of games to be qualified for the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's like the way that Taylor has it of the think big and having your teammates all on board is, you know, really important. So I really think the way that this is set up, big picture goals and can't be emphasized enough at step one.
Yeah. Just to go back, like for example, and I listed this before, but I'll say it again, just so that we can kind of read between the lines here of some of the big picture goals that I set in college, because like the work really with goal setting, like it doesn't start at like casting a vision for your life. Like there needs to be work that comes before that to figure out like, who the hell am I? And like, what do I even want for my life? Like, you know, care enough to like be this incredible athlete? Like, is that really, really what I want? Or do I want to do something else? So like, there does need to be a bit of work and like internal reflection on like, okay, who am I? What I want? What do I want? What am I passionate about? Whatever. But again, like the other, when I was in college, like, for example, I said I wanted to play professional volleyball. And like, I didn't say that I wanted to play professional volleyball forever. Part of the reason why I wanted to play professional volleyball was A, because I wanted the experience, and B, because like, I love to travel and I knew that I would be traveling abroad. So that's actually part of where that big vision came from. And I knew that that was a means to an end. The All-American goal, like, I mean, that was just straight up like pride. I just wanted to be a badass, I think.
Yeah.
the business owner goal, casting that vision for myself, I know about myself that like, this sounds bad. I don't like being told what to do. Like, I know that about myself. I know that I like work best mostly independently. Like, this is a life lesson that I have learned time and time again. I'm an introvert. I know I don't like playing politics. So that's where that goal came from. I want to work in sport. I love sports. I know that about myself. So like, before you start like even casting a vision, you really need to understand, what is it that you want? Who are you? And what's important? Like, what values are important to you?
Yeah. And you may be sitting here listening, because I know I've been at this stage in my life of, okay, I'm not an athlete anymore. I don't really care about, like, it's hard to put those type of goals, or maybe I'm happy in my career, so it's hard to put those types of goals. If you're having trouble thinking of these buckets, what I would recommend that I heard years ago and is really changed my life when I was doing these goal settings is, imagine and write down, like right now, scribble on your paper, your average perfect day. So by average, I mean, you're not winning the lottery. You're not going to Mexico. You're not on a vacation. You're not meeting the love of your life. Like, you're not doing any of those things. But if you had to describe your perfect day, what time are you waking up at? What are you eating for breakfast? Are you having coffee? Are you doing a meditation? Are you listening to the Virago Pod podcast?
What?
How's your morning? And then what are you working? Are you working from home? How long's your commute? What are you doing on your commute? What kind of relationships do you have at people at work? What are you doing after work? What are you packing your lunch? Are you buying your lunch? Are you, you know, cooking dinner? Are you Zooming with your family? Are you FaceTiming a friend at some point? Like, what is your average perfect day? And then that's a really good place to start. So it doesn't have to be something that's, you know, I'm going to be a sportscaster on ESPN, because like, honestly, that was my dream coming up, and hence why I wanted to go that route. But really for me now, that Virago, the Virago Project's my only job, besides obviously taking care of my lovely daughter, kind of fall through this trap of like, okay, this part is my life's really unhappy because I'm not getting like 30 minutes to myself anymore. So I'm like, all right. So I, you know, made that happen. I talked to my husband and talked to him about like, hey, my mornings are really stressful right now doing all these things. Like, can you take 30 minutes from your work this morning, or like work out in the thing so I can have 30 minutes? And that's like changed my life. So once you can identify the ideal day, it's much easier to set goals and kind of make that day happen.
Well, I think that you just crushed it. I think we just crushed this goal setting. I mean, we just basically took them through the whole damn workshop. But yeah, I'm glad, because like, I feel like if you're still here with us now, at this point, like, you should have a pretty clear idea of how to get started with your goals, and, you know, how to find your motivation, and also how to figure out your passions and purpose. So we just did all of that, Emily.
We got everything. So if you are a college athlete and you think your team could benefit, tell your coach about us. We will come do this workshop for your team. It's the feedback we've got on the goals we've had from the teams that we've done this with is unbelievable. Cause it's kind of nice having a third party. Cause I remember on my previous teams, you know, we were like, oh, I want to win this. And they're like, well, what do you mean? You only want to get to the, why don't you want to win the whole? And it's like, well, of course I want to do that. But like, so kind of having a third person, like a third party that understands the athletic world, people have said have been really effective, that it's not necessarily a coach driven or all player driven. It's kind of someone with everyone's best interest, but a third party in mind. So I'm really excited to run this workshop more with the teams that we've already been talking with.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hey guys, well, thank you for listening, and happy goal setting. Again, visit our website to find more details about our team talks. We'll start marketing those probably Monday. But yeah, have a great week, and we will catch you next Tuesday on Virago Pod.